Well, we're in a season of revival. I believe that revival is a lifestyle. I believe it's something that can get on you and in you and stay on you. Well, praise the Lord. I believe revival is a living, breathing experience. And we sometimes communicate differently when we're using that word. Some of us might mean one thing and somebody else might mean something else. But typically in Pentecost, when we talk about revival, it's not a series of meetings. It's not just hanging a sign out and having a service on some scheduled nights and the church all comes together. But revival is a spiritual experience, something that blows in on the wings of God's grace and mercy. And people begin to fall on their face and repent. And then there's this business of conviction that starts to fall. And we usually involve a preacher in that business and gather people together and say, come to the house of God. But you've already heard the testimony. It doesn't have to happen at the house of God or in scheduled services. I'm telling you, God's pouring out the Holy Ghost in Bible studies. This thing's breaking loose out of the four walls and into the houses. And praise God. Anywhere we open up the Word of God, anywhere we open up our faith and begin to move in the Spirit, revival can break loose. Revival can erupt. Revival can spring forth. The kingdom of heaven is like a number of things in the imagery of the scripture, but one of them is like water springing up. He said, it will be within you a well springing up into everlasting life. Well, I can't hear that without thinking about their wilderness journey and the song that the Lord taught them. And he taught them to sing, spring up, oh well, spring up, oh well. And the people just interacted. They had to sing that song and they had to participate in that because water was life. I'm telling you, revival is life. The moving of the Spirit of God is life. Spring up, oh well. Spring up, oh well. In a house, in a firehouse, in a school, in a business place, out on the street, at Five Points, and sometimes in the altar at New Life. Spring up, oh well. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So we've just come out of Alabama Revival Conference. You can stand or sit or run or whatever you want to do. I really at this point don't care. But I don't want us to, Revival Conference, I don't want Revival Conference to be like the startling of a crowd of pigeons that are sitting there and they're all just sitting there being pigeons and you come at them and they're, ooh. And then after a little bit, they come back. And revival will do that to you. You, hell, we're energized. We're excited. We're going. We're rolling. We're hyped. We're ready. We're having it. But reversion to type is the constant internal threat for any personal experience with God or revival. You are constantly having to be vigilant against the capacity, that insidious capacity of your flesh and your natural mind to revert to type. Whether type is dead, dull, boring experience in church, or even further back, reversion to a world of sin and losing your experience in God. It's always there. It always wants to rise up. We don't want to just get all excited and flutter around for a little bit. We want to be on that charted course of God, that continual spiral upward, making our way up. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I want to catch a drift. I want to catch a thermal in the Holy Ghost. I want to rise up in places in God where we've yet to go. My God, I believe it's here. I believe it's the will of God. I don't want to settle for anything less. I don't want to get on the other side and have God say, you know, he did that with Israel. He did that with Jerusalem. He's standing overlooking the city. He said, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. If you'd have known the things that were yours, but you missed the time of your visitation. They had thousands of years to get a hold of it. My goodness. I don't want to hear him say, boy, that group of people, that revival could have been, could have become. Those people could have seen, could have had, could have experienced. I don't want to hear him say that. I want to hear him say, well done. Well done. Well done. My God. When we start walking over on the other side, I want us to come bringing our sheaves with us. Rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. And every one of you that plants a foot over on the other side, I want to hear a resounding, well done. Well done. You did good. Ah, you had an opportunity and you took it. You had potential and you actualized it. You had a door before you and you made your way through. Everybody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, I am going to read a text tonight. But I want to tell you, I've spent several hours today crafting a message about the friends of Job. My God, I've been all up and down, and I've been walking with Job's friends all day long. And it's wonderful stuff. It's good stuff. And I'm excited, and I can't wait for us to do that. But we can't do it tonight. They'll just have to sit in silence for a little while longer. But tonight we're going to take a text. I want us to get ready to rock it out into some places. My God, God's talking. I know he's not just talking to me. I know he's not just talking to me. I know somebody's hearing something in prayer. People are getting motivated in the spirit like they haven't for a good long while. My God, there's going to be some encroaching in some areas that the devil thought he didn't even have to worry about. They were so locked up. But strongholds are going to come down. I've got to tell you, I believe they're coming down right now. I believe they're coming down right now. Acts chapter 2 verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were there. They were where he said to be. Revival is about being where he said to be. They were all in one accord. Revival is about being together in one mind and in one accord. Come on, let's get on the page. Whatever you're chasing, let's chase after the things of God. Whatever you're looking at, let's look after the things of God. This is our moment on the timeline of God. We shall not squander it. This is the point of our destiny in this city. My God, you come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Push your neighbor and tell him, I've got a spiritual destiny. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, pneuma, breath. It was God blowing into that place just like he had breathed on Adam, and Adam became a living soul. He breathed into that 120 and they became alive again in the power of the Holy Ghost. My God, they were the first fruits It filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat on each of them. If we're going to have revival, it's going to have fire in it. It's not going to be some dead, dull, smoldering thing. It's got to have fire. Don't be afraid of the fire. Don't be afraid of a conflagration. Don't be afraid of a breakout. My God, I love that meeting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. It looked like the city might catch on fire. I saw people catching on fire at ARC that hadn't burned in forever. If we're going to have revival, we got to have fire. If we're going to have fire, somebody's got to get down to the business. Paul told his protege, stir up that gift that is within you. The word there is the same word in the Greek as they used in the forge with the bellows. And they would blow with that pump. That mechanical pump would blow fresh air and oxygen on that fire. And they would heat it up and things became malleable. Things became moldable. You could work with things, even steel or iron, when it got hot enough. I want you to know the things that are outside lurking around, they don't like the fire. If you're in a dark place, get a good fire going. If you're feeling cold in your soul, get a good fire going. My God, fire is what we need. We need fire in the Holy Ghost. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set on the preacher. It set on the praise singers. It set on the elders. No. It set on each one of them. It set on everybody. Everybody got the fire. Everybody got the fire. Everybody got the fire. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to be burning up and I'm going to set you on fire. My God, if you don't want to get burned, you better get with it. You better get in or get out. Holy Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. We may not get past our text. So this is what happens when I have to sit for a week in a revival conference. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. God's been dealing with me. I've got notes from here to China on full, on filled, fullness of joy. Fullness, in the fullness of time. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. He told them, fill the water pots up to the brim. There's nothing half empty. There's nothing lacking when you're dealing with the expressions of the Word of God. It's always full. It's always, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It is the will of God for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, running over with the Holy Ghost. Splashing out on somebody else. Pulsing out on somebody else. My God. You want to stay full of the Holy Ghost. That's revival. If you want revival, you got to be full of the Holy Ghost. Brother Cornwell said you need to get the Holy Ghost at every stage of life. And I understand that what he means. You have to reinvent yourself in the Holy Ghost. When you get out of high school, when you get married, when you have children, when you get a new career started, when you lose a career, when you get old, whatever it is, at every season of life, you need to fashion that experience in the Holy Ghost all over again. But let me suggest something to you. If you'll just do that every day, if you'll just pray through every day, if you'll just touch that glory every day, if you'll just talk in tongues and let it flow every day. As you move from season to season, you will inevitably morph into whatever God wants you to be in that season of time. Praise God. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. This is the fulfillment of Isaiah. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest and this is the refreshing. yet they would not hear. This is the fulfillment. This is the speaking in other languages. This is the most unruly member proclaiming that the vessel is full of the Spirit of God. Well, praise God. This is the mouth speaking the abundance of the heart. Praise God. This is the announcement. God has arrived. If we're going to have revival, we need to be talking in tongues. I mean, we need to be talking in tongues. You ought to talk in tongues in the morning. Talk in tongues on the way to work. Talk in tongues at lunchtime. Talk in tongues in your cubicle. Talk in tongues on your equipment. Talk in tongues in your office. The more you talk in tongues, the more God is talking in our city. Brother Cornwell taught about the seven dimensions of revival. He's taught that here. He's taught that at ARC. And one of them is speaking in tongues. You need to talk in tongues. Praise God. You need to push your neighbor a little bit and say, you need to talk in tongues every day. There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because they heard every man. They heard them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Let me tell you, when this begins to move, they didn't go out and pass out flyers. They didn't go out and knock on doors. They didn't go out and solicit people. There was something drawing these people. It was noised abroad. We don't understand the implication completely of that, but something supernatural began to happen. If you'll become immersed in the outpouring of the Holy Ghost, there will be an indraw. When that fire begins to burn, it begins to suck in the air from other places, and there's a drawing in to the vortex of that fire. Praise God. Now, Peter began to preach to these. There was some speculation that the men were drunk, but Peter said, not like you think. This is that was spoken by the prophet Joel, that in the last days saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Well, praise the Lord. He began to preach to them a simple 400-word sermon about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when he was done, he had proven to them, he had shown them by the biblical model that Jesus was indeed the one spoken of by the Old Testament prophet, and that he was the Lord and the God of all. He was the creator. Both Lord and Christ is the way that he put it. He was God in a man's body. When they heard this, their hearts were touched. Down in verse 36, let therefore all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? There was a question in the crowd. What can we do? What shall we do? And it was motivated by the moving of the Spirit. It was motivated by the spoken word. And you have Brother Wilson's vinculum there, his creative vinculum. There was a moving of the Spirit. And then there was the word of God. And because of that, there was light and revelation, and they saw themselves clearly. And in that moment, they said, what can we do? Their hearts were broken. And Peter, he had the answer for them. He had a package for them that was the synopsis of the gospel. You know, the gospel is so clear from the Old to the New Testament. Peter is only going to say what has already been demonstrated through the Old Testament, through the tabernacle plan, in the story of the flood, in the sacrifices of the patriarchs. It even is preached and taught where you have the voice of John the Baptist. His voice says, repent. And you have the life of Jesus Christ on the cross. Water and blood go forth. That's the death. That's the burial. And then there's this wonderful resurrection and the outpouring outpouring of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. The typology cascades down from heaven through the Word of God. The gospel is hammering out everywhere you look in the Word of God. And Peter backs off and he says, now when they heard this, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, not some of you, but every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Y Pedro les dicen, arrepentíos y bautícese cada uno de vosotros en el nombre de Jesucristo para perdón de sus pecados y recibiréis el don del Espíritu Santo. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Revival, true revival, God's revival. There's growth, there's fat. There's all kinds of growth, but revival is born by the Word of God. If it's going to be revival, it'll be a revival of repentance. And judgment begins at the house of God. First, there'll be repentance in this house. If you're not in, get in. If you're not right, get right. If you're not true, be true. If you walked away from some things, get back where you were and let's get ready. There's going to be a baptism of repentance. If it's going to be revival like God wants revival, if it's going to be growth like God wants growth, it's going to be built on the Lordship of Jesus Christ and His gospel. It's going to be built on the fact that God came to earth in the form of a man and gave Himself a ransom for my sin. It's going to be built on the prophets and on the apostles, and it'll always be built around baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, as we have revival, you want to know what revival is? It's when people are getting the Holy Ghost. It's when people are going down in the water in Jesus' name. For the remission of their sins. He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. And the promise is unto you, your children, those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward, this aimless, wandering generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. When you gladly receive the word of God, you are baptized. When you're baptized in a biblical frame, you're baptized in Jesus' name exclusively. The same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls in one day. In one day. In one day. I could spend time qualifying it. I could talk about a prepared audience. I could talk about a special time. I could tell you all about why it happened on that day. But I'd have to also offer you the fact that God is no respecter of persons. And that what God has done in one place, God can do. Oh, I'm way out beyond some of your imaginations. But I want you to know, if God poured it out on 3,000 in one day, God is going to save the best for last. There's going to be a Now you might get with me if I talked about a 20-soul revival or a 50-soul revival or a 100-soul revival. But my God, what are we going to do when God begins to pour it out and they bring the babies and they bring the families and they bring... One day. Somebody say one day. One day, 3,000 souls. That's revival. How much revival do you want? How much revival do you want? And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers. It wasn't just a meeting. And it wasn't just a moment. It was. Now he's going to have to learn to preach with the preacher and to listen. And I know that's difficult. And we're with you, Stephanie. Everybody say, we're with you. All right. Were you blessed by his preaching Friday night? We're getting emails on him to the website. Praise God. He's going to start getting gigs. Hey, is that little blonde-haired guy available? Well, he just did. He preached ARC. Not too shabby. It wasn't just a meeting. It wasn't just a moment in time. It wasn't just some cataclysmic experience in a prearranged biblical format. It was being forged now into a lifestyle. And they continued. And they said, we're going to be the motive force to keep this alive. They continued. This thing was going to stay alive in them. In the following chapters, it's going to be thousands that are going to come into the kingdom. They're on the way to the temple to pray. They forge out a lifestyle of revival. They forge out a lifestyle of revival. Now, let me just tell you, I was worn slap out after ARC. I was blasted after the weekend. And I just got to tell you, I'm ashamed to tell you, but I can still feel it in my body today. I can feel it in my legs. I can feel it in my feet. I can feel it in my spirit. And I can feel it in my Holy Ghost. What does an ongoing lifestyle revival do to you? I have no idea. I've lived there before, but I've never lived there at this age and in this condition. I don't know what it's going to do, but if I get in the way, just drag me over to a corner till I catch my breath, and I'll be back up with you directly. Don't let me get in the way. Just carry on if I fall out somewhere. You with me, Sister Riggs? All right. God. She's having just as much revival as anybody else. She's just not running the backs of the pews, running the aisles. Lifestyle. Tell somebody lifestyle revival. They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They didn't deviate from the word of God. And fellowship. They were getting together, but they weren't getting together to play games and be carnal and be stupid and get sinful. They were getting together to have fellowship about revival and the things of God. You know what I'm seeing around here? People getting together to talk about revival. People getting together to talk about good things. People talking about the things of God, getting jazzed and energized about it. My God, can't get a decent conversation going with anybody. All anybody ever wants to talk about is God, is Holy Ghost, is fire, is the things of God. All they want to talk about is the Bible study and the witness they have going. My God. They got together to break bread. Ah, praise God. They still were good Pentecostals and they ate. We all gain weight when we join the Pentecostal church. Praise God. Fear came on every soul. Wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that, that's just part of revival. As we begin to walk in this, and we walk in it continually, and as a lifestyle of revival, we're going to see signs and wonders. It's just what follows the church. These signs shall follow them that believe. The believers don't follow the signs. The signs follow the believers. Sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men as every man had need. They, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, ate their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's clap our hands unto him. Praise God. The Howard said ARC felt like the great San Fernando Valley revival. It felt like PSR in the early days. The young lady that married Jeremy Wilbanks is from that area. She was over here for this week, and she was weeping in the services. She said, this feels like PSR when I was a little girl. It is so like PSR. PSR was a conference like this conference that was promoted by a few churches there in that valley, just like a few churches have put this conference together for the purpose of promoting revival in the district and in churches around them, for exporting revival concept. And those primary churches involved were about the size of our church right now. But each one of them, Modesto, Sacramento, and Fresno, and a couple of others, they began to have this boiling revival in their local congregations. And those churches all broke 1,000 within the next few years. Modesto runs nearly 2,000 now. Sacramento's building a church that'll seat thousands, plural. Well, praise the Lord. Something began to move in that place. And I love to pattern after revivalists, and I want to know what they did and what they do, and I want to know all about them. But what I'm interested in the Howards and in Sister Vonda Wilbanks, is that they said, this feels like that movement, that meeting, those services. They were smelling something in the Holy Ghost. It smells like that revival in the San Fernando Valley. It smells like that move of God that gave birth to 3,000 or 4,000 member churches in a very small area there. It feels like it. It smells like it. Praise God. Now, you do what you want to do with that, but I'm telling you, I see the handprint of God on what's happening here, and I hear the voice of God. I don't know if I'm preaching to anybody, or I'm preaching to the air, or I'm preaching to myself, but I'm going to tell you right now, the hand of God is on this people, on this house, on this city, and God has a revival for a revival-minded people. Everybody say revival. R is for response. Because nothing matters but your response. The devil doesn't matter. Your trouble doesn't matter. But if you're going to have revival, you got to have a revival response. If we're going to be a revival church, we're going to preach with the preacher. We're going to shout every service. We're going to dance. We're going to run. We're going to pray. We're going to praise. Our response. God has put the arrows in our hand, and we're going to beat them until they're toothpicks. God has put revival in our hand. What are you going to do with it? Come on, to ask your neighbor, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? What are we going to become? What will we do with what God has given us? My response, there's going to be something come down on you. All of hell's going to stand up against this. All of hell's going to respond against you. But my response is the only thing that matters, because God is able and God is sovereign, and he's just looking for somebody. The devil can't stop it. The circumstances can't stop it. If you want it, you can have it. Nothing can stop it. Your response determines revival. E. Expectancy. Turn to your neighbor and say, what are you expecting? My God, I'm expecting hundreds to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm expecting Bible studies to start coming in group, in mass. I'm expecting the altar full, the chairs full, people standing along the wall. You say, what is that? I'm telling you, we've already been there in the storefront. We've already been there in the little white building. We've already been there 2 or 3 times over next door. It's about to happen in this place. I can feel it. I can smell it. This is not new. I know where I'm walking right now. My God, baptizing in the middle of the night. Holy Ghost outpouring in the middle of the day. Revival. I expect a move of God when I come to the house. I expect an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I expect shouting and dancing and running. I expect God to meet with us. I expect revival to break loose. What are your expectations? What are your expectations? I'm driving up on the lot. Somebody is going to find God tonight. I'm coming in the front door. God's going to meet with us tonight. It's going to be hot in the house tonight. Fire's going to fall tonight. I have an expectation of what God will do. The expectancy is the manifestation of my faith. There's a revival expectancy. What do you expect? I expect Ryan's dad to get the Holy Ghost and talk in tongues. I'm expecting that. I'm envisioning him walking in the door. I can picture him coming up out of his seat and kneeling at an altar. V! You got the victory. Do you have the victory? You got the victory. Turn to your neighbor and say, do you have the victory? My God, if you're going to be a revival church, you got to have the victory. You can't come in here looking like somebody stole your mule. You can't walk in here looking like you lost your best friend. You got to get the victory. Keep the victory. Have enough victory for you and somebody else. My God, do you have the victory? I can get a pink slip, but I can still have the victory. I can have a catch in my hip, but I can still have the victory. I can have my neighbors hate me, but I can still have the victory. My God, you need to. Come on. Where are your sins? Where's your name? Where are you going to live forever? Who's your daddy? What's your spiritual name? What's encamped round about you day and night to keep you? What happens to weapons that are formed against you? Having a victory is just a matter of keeping the veil from falling. He's got a, I think it's like demons with little bags. They want to come and drop them over your head, and you're like, oh, I can't see anything, and it's real dark, and I'm feeling pretty bad. I guess I'm depressed. And then you start looking for why you're depressed. It's your fault I'm depressed. It's your fault. And you start having problems with other people. It's just a matter of keep the victory. Just keep the bag off your head. Keep the veil from falling down over your eyes. And that, it's the same way you continually appreciate your children. It's the same way you continually love your husband or your wife. You just do it every day in prayer. My God, I'm a child of the King. I've got everything to live for. I'm a child of God. I'm a warrior in this battle for this city. I am anointed of God. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. My sins are all under the blood. I've got the Holy Ghost of God down inside of me. Why should I not have victory? I. Instant. That's pretty good. What would I be? Well, we could do this all day long. You can do your own version when you get home. But I just thought, intensity. Intensity. It's got to be intense. You got to be at least as intense as Sister Shirley. Gotta be intense. Gotta be intense. You're intense about everything that's important to you. You're intense about everything that's of value to you. You're intense about everything that has any real consequence in your life. You're intense about it. You're not casual about it. Praise God. It's easy to get into the humdrum, and it's easy to just kind of get casual about it. And, oh, blah, 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 I'm in church. I'm coming to the house of God. It's the same old, I'm not expecting anything. Nothing's going to happen. No, but you got to get intense about it. My God, intense in my worship, intense in my prayer, intense. My God, when you get down in prayer, don't just go, oh, now I lay me down to sleep. When you get down in prayer, get a hold of something in God. Get a hold of, hey, God, I'm looking for you. Hey, God, I'm serving you today. Hey, God, come do it in my house. Come work the miracle in my city. Praise God. Let's clap our hands into it. Help me, Lindsay. My God, what I'm hearing in the Holy Ghost is we're spending too much time worrying about 2838 Ruffner Road. Because 2838 Ruffner Road is not New Life. New Life is this group of people. If we went down to 123 Main Street, we would have New Life there. The power of God, the anointing power of God to break the chains is wherever Kelly Riggs is standing. Wherever you're standing is where the power of God is to fill somebody with the Holy Ghost. My God, wherever Chase is standing, that's where the power of God is to break the demon of alcoholism off somebody's back. Wherever Brother Tony is standing, that's where all the anointing and all the power that's in New Life is.
I feel like letting that go a little further. Anybody hearing anything in the Holy Ghost? Touch your neighbor and say, you need to find your voice. If you've read Stephen Covey's Seven Habits, his eighth habit is finding your voice, finding your expression, finding your song, finding your place of service, finding your part of the kingdom of God, your giftedness, your area of ministry, your part of the kingdom you can lay your hands on and say, this is my turf and I'm excellent at it. This is my place in the kingdom and I'm going to be powerful at it. You need to find your voice. You might be helping other people or you might be listening to other people, but everybody's got a voice in the kingdom of God. You need to find your voice. On the job, you need to find your voice and say, excuse me, but there's a God in the heavens and he wants to pour out his precious Holy Ghost. Oh, come on. You need to find your voice. They're talking about everything else under the sun. It's neck deep in politics and economics and who's going to be the next Supreme Court justice. And I care somewhat minimally about all of that. And I tend to try to stay abreast of current events. And I want to know enough to have a decent conversation with someone so that I can steer them into a conversation about the things of God. And I don't want to be too transparent here, but that's exactly my motive. All I want to do with all this current event business is have a little something I can get in with them on and talk to them about the things of God. But I found my voice. I'm not a political speaker, and I'm not a speaker on economics, and I don't really care to talk about football with you. I will if I have to. I don't really care to talk about basketball with you. I will if I have to. But what I really want to talk about is the Lord God that came down in the form of a man and washed my sins away. I want to tell somebody about Jesus. We need to find our voice, church. Everywhere we go, everybody we talk to, they need to hear about this. You need to have a card in your pocket and a track in your purse. You need to be ready to speak it, to say it, to deliver the mail. My God, I'm hurrying. Hey. Hey. Wherever, Brother Antoine, wherever the anointing is, we need to find it. Wherever the anointing is, we need to get it. Wherever the anointing is, we need to release it. I know that the Word of God says the anointing that is in you, I know it comes packaged with the Holy Ghost, but whatever you have to do to get that anointing oil flow, you got to do that every day. You got to do that every day because you're going to meet somebody that has chains. They're bound up. They're shackled by sin. The Word of God said it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. If we're going to have a revival church, if we're going to be God's revival people, we've got to have a fresh flow of anointing in this place. Now, I'm going to tell you, our worship is fantastic, but I'll tell you this, there is no way we're going to walk in his anointing without a profound prayer life.
without a profound prayer life. And I want to challenge you to do this. I want to challenge you for the next little while. But if you do it for the next little while, you'll just get into a habit of it. I want you to begin to spend as much time in the day praying in tongues as you pray in English. I want you to begin to... Jude said, building up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Paul says, praying in a level, in a dimension that you can't even understand. The Holy Ghost making utterings and groanings and cryings that you can't even begin to understand. Praying in a place, in a dimension that your natural mind can't even go. In the Holy Ghost. In the Holy Ghost. That's where the anointing is. That's where the anointing is. My God, I stood at the end. I was standing there laughing because they had put Sister Lisa Haynes at the end of that prayer line Friday night and asked her to kind of control the crowd as they came out of there. I don't know if you just did that because you're a take charge person. I think somebody asked you to do that. But there were some people there about three times your size you were trying to herd around in there. And I got to watching that, and I was standing there, and I just started feeling something coming out of that prayer line. Did anybody go through that prayer line? Did anybody stand in a place to pray? Did you feel something awesome moving in that house Friday night? I started laying hands on kids and young people as they came out of there, started praying for them. I felt things in the Holy Ghost I have never felt in my life flowing out of that place. You say, well, what is that about? We're just going up to another level. We're going up to another level. We're moving in to another dimension, and there's going to be a greater anointing there. But it's going to be flowing out of a prayer life. Talking tongues. I mean, here just for the next few minutes, just talking tongues. Talk with authority. Point that finger and declare it in the Holy Ghost. Prayeth in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. It builds you up. You're building yourself up right now in the kingdom of God. You're building yourself up right now in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Come on down around the altar tonight. Just come talking in tongues. Just come on talking in tongues. Talking in tongues at the drop of a hat. Talking in tongues at a moment's notice. Wake up in the night talking in tongues in your sleep. Dreaming about talking in tongues. Meaning to talk to somebody in English, but you break forth talking in tongues because you're getting so fluid in it. You're spending so much time in that. Lay your hand on somebody, let it flow. That's anointing. Let it flow. That's the Holy Ghost. Let it flow. Don't let it just be your mouth. Now give yourself to it. Let it possess your vessel. With it. Some of you, your natural mind is already warring against you. Your flesh is already rising up and saying, what are you doing? Precious anointing oil, flow on this house and everyone in it.